Deutsche Welle, Africa Link.
And a very good morning to you on this Thursday, the 4th of February. Welcome to Africa Link. I'm Mark Caldwell in Bonn, Germany. Coming up, as Uganda prepares to go to the polls in a fortnight's time, local rights activists doubt whether the election campaign is free or fair.
The continued arrests of different actors in the country, some charged, others not charged, detained for beyond 48 hours.
And in Nigeria, scores of people have died of Lassa fever, which is spread by rats. Sales of rat poison have skyrocketed. We hear how Nigerians are coping with the rodents.
When such things bring diseases into our house, it gives a lot of fear and a lot of concern.
Stay tuned to this edition of Africa Link.
Top story.
Congolese warlord Jermaine Katanga was back in the dock on Wednesday after completing a first 12-year sentence handed down by the International Criminal Court in The Hague. This time he stands accused in Kinshasa of crimes related to fighting in Ituri near the Ugandan border, where some 60,000 people died between 1999 and 2007. This fact box on Jermaine Katanga is presented by Fred Mavuni and Sela Onoko.
Jermaine Katanga, 37 years old, is a former leader of the Patriotic Resistance Force in Ituri province in northern DRC.
On December 11, 2004, Katanga was one of six former militia leaders appointed as generals in DRC Army as part of a peace process.
In 2007, the Congolese authorities surrendered him to the International Criminal Court, or ICC, to stand trial on six counts of war crimes and three counts of crimes against humanity. The charges included murder, sexual slavery, and using children under the age of 15 to participate actively in hostilities.
Nicknamed Simba or Lion due to his ferocity, he was convicted of supplying weapons to his militia in the attack in which some 200 people were shot and hacked to death with machetes.
The ICC subsequently sentenced him to prison for complicity in murder and looting. However, Katanga was acquitted of enforcing sexual slavery and using child soldiers.
Katanga served most of his 12-year sentence. He was brought back to Kinshasa in December and was set to be released on good conduct on January 18th.
On Wednesday, Katanga was back in the dock for crimes against humanity. This time, Katanga and his five co-accused faced charges of war crimes, crimes against humanity, and participation in an insurrection against his government. DRC authorities also said Katanga may have had a role in killing nine UN peacekeepers in Ituri in 2005.
Human Rights Watch says Katanga's trial in DRC will be the first of its kind in which new national proceedings are being brought against an individual already convicted by the ICC. At least 3 million Congolese are said to have been killed in DRC between 1996 and 2003.
Fred Mavuni and Sela Onoko with that fact box on Jermaine Katanga. And Katanga was not the only defendant in the dock. Jane Ayeko asked Habibou Bongré, a freelance journalist based in Kinshasa, for more details on the day's proceedings.
Seven ex-members of the Front Patriotique de Résistance de l'Ituri, FRPI, or its political wing, appeared before the court today. It was the first time Jermaine Katanga was called before the court for the new charges against him. Two other detainees also appeared for the first time, Floribert Njabu and Pierre-Célestin Bodina. Floribert Njabu, head of the political wing of FRPI, said he was recusing the judge because he let him stay in prison for 11 years without trial. Pierre-Célestin Bodina is exactly in the same situation, 11 years in prison without trial. Floribert Njabu added that the judge used to belong to a rebel group other than FRPI, making him kind of biased in this case. Next audience is scheduled on February 19th. It will help the defense have more time to prepare because they were given very short notice before the start of the trial.
So why does the DRC government feel that it's necessary to try Katanga again, even after he had already been tried by the International Criminal Court?
Jamal Katanga appears for several alleged crimes that were committed between 2003 and 2005, according to the Congolese justice. These crimes include participating in a rebel movement, war crimes for recruiting or using child soldiers younger than 15, and crimes against humanity by murder. These crimes are supposed not to have been judged already or considered already by the ICC.
So with the DRC being a member of the Rome Statute that, of course, establishes the ICC, how does this action contradict with the ICC legal provisions?
Kinshasa has the right to sue Germain Katanga for other crimes than those tried by the ICC, but some of these lawyers say that the new charges cover some of the facts that were already judged by the ICC before, so there is a debate here. The other problem is that DRC was supposed to seek for the approval of the ICC before starting the new procedure, but it didn't. So the lawyers who defended Germain Katanga at The Hague are pressuring the ICC to have the procedure stopped, while his defense in Kinshasa is trying to convince the court that it's not good for her to pursue the case.
Habibu Bongai in Kinshasa speaking to Jane Ayeko.
Africa Link, every weekday on DW Deutsche Welle.
In 2 weeks, the people of Uganda elect a new president. The incumbent, Yoweri Museveni, is facing arguably the most formidable contest of his career, which will see him face off against his former Prime Minister, M.M. Mbabazi, and longtime opposition figure, Kizza Besigye. Rights groups have long accused Museveni's government of using illegal arrests and beatings by security personnel to intimidate opposition supporters. The government has steadfastly denied such charges. Alex Jutter reports.
Dr. Kizza Besigye, the leading opposition candidate, campaigns in Kabale District, Western Uganda. To get here, his convoy was stopped twice by the police. The police argued that Besigye was going to disrupt business at a market on his way to this campaign venue. This and other cases where opposition figures have been arrested have raised concerns on the fairness of the electoral process. Now, a local human rights organization, the Uganda Human Rights Network, has released a report saying there are several cases of arbitrary arrests and disappearance of individuals. Most of these are opposition political activists, mostly in upcountry districts, the report says. Patrick Tumwine is a researcher at the Uganda Human Rights Network.
The continued arrests of different actors in the country, some charged, others not charged, detained for beyond 48 hours. Others arrested for associating themselves with different political position. Go Forward members are arrested, FDC members are arrested from different parts of the country.
Solomon Nakawesi, a coordinator at candidate Amama Mbabazi's Go Forward camp, says they have reported numerous cases of human rights abuses to the police, but no action is being taken.
We have up to 13 people that are missing in Kampala, Wakiso, what we call metropolitan. Another area where we have people missing or even displaced is Ankore and Kigezi sub-region. In Rukunjiri alone, we are having one of our coordinators who is a former bishop who has been detained and has not been arraigned in court. We've raised all these comments with the Electoral Commission, we've written to police, we filed cases of missing persons. However, we are disappointed that there is not so much expediency in ensuring that these are resolved.
Government spokesperson Ofwono Pondo said delays to produce the suspects in court is a major challenge in government due to understaffing in the Department of Judiciary. He, however, denied that there are people being arrested without reason. Apart from cases of human rights abuses, the opposition continues to accuse President Yoweri Museveni of personally intimidating them on his campaign trail. Kizza Besigye told a campaign rally in eastern Uganda that the law allows people to settle on some parts of forest reserves. In his response, President Museveni said Kizza Besigye should be arrested for making that statement. Besigye retaliated.
He should have the decency to behave and act as a candidate. If there is any executive role, especially relating to his opponents, he should have the decency to let other government institutions to be the ones to act.
Kizza Besigye ending that report by Alex Jitter. Nigeria is struggling to contain a Lassa fever epidemic, which has claimed scores of lives in less than 6 months. The country's rodent population is the target in the battle against the disease, as rats are the carriers of Lassa fever and responsible for its transmission to humans. Sales of rat poison have skyrocketed. Sam Olukoya in Lagos has more.
A man wearing mask fumigates a Lagos market. This is one of the ways Nigerians are fighting against rats in the quest to prevent the spread of Lassa fever. People generally catch the disease when eating food that has been contaminated by rodents, but it can also spread through contacts with blood, urine, or other bodily fluids of an infected person. This fumigation is now being carried out in markets, schools and hospitals in Lagos by the Lagos State Branch of the Environmental Health Officers Association of Nigeria. Samuel Akinbeyin is the group's chairman.
Rodents is actually the known source, the harbor of the virus of Lassa fever. Definitely, if the virus is around, we should not allow the reservoir of infection to survive. So that is the reason why we launched a total war on rats in Lagos State.
The effort is paying off. 4,500 rats were killed in the first 6 markets the group visited. Indeed, Nigerians are now fumigating houses and offices, and the sales of rat poison has risen sharply. Cats, which are the worst enemies of rats, are also in high demand. Slums like Makoko are where rats can be found in very large numbers. Joseph Blabo, a Makoko resident, says people are living in fear of Lassa fever because of the very high number of rats in the area.
The rat situation in Makoko is very, very high. They live with us, but they even wine and dine with us. So now when such things bring diseases into our house, you know, it gives a lot of fear and a lot of concern.
Michael Shomoye, another Lagos resident, said,
during the olden days, you don't see rats in the daytime. You see rats in the night. But now you see rats running in the day. That shows there's a problem in the land. So we need to tackle it both angles. So this is time for us to stand. Everybody have to be awake now.
With about 80 people dead from Lassa fever and 200 suspected cases in various parts of Nigeria, the fear of the disease is nationwide. Symptoms of Lassa fever include headache, sore throat, muscle pain, vomiting, and diarrhea. At a later stage, people can also bleed from various areas of the body.
Sam Olukoya. And now, as always on a Thursday, a second chance to hear this week's instalment of Crime Fighters.
Deutsche Welle, learning by ear. Listen up, shape your future.
Hello and welcome to the 6th episode of Crime Fighters on the Trail of the Poachers, our radio drama that takes place in a little African town called Bovu. Last time, Detective Alan seemed to be chasing a mirage. The closer he thought he was getting to resolving the murder of his friend Patrick, the more complicated things became. Alan's colleague Carl, on the other hand, has scored a success. He and his team have arrested 2 poachers. Will they lead Carl to the elusive Mr. G, head of the poacher gang? Before we join the detectives in today's episode, the cat is out of the bag. Let's listen in on what the prominent wildlife conservationist Dr. Susan is doing.
And now, let's welcome a woman who over the years has been steadfast in preaching the gospel of wildlife conservation. A woman who has faced government torture and vilification for doing what she believes in.
Brilliant.
Let's welcome our hero, the acclaimed wildlife conservationist, Dr. Susan Galana.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you. Wow. Nothing makes me feel quite as at home as being in the midst of people who are so passionate about what they believe in.
Yes.
You have stood with us against all odds to fight the growing menace of people who encroach upon our God-given resources. Now, we all know that poaching is one of the biggest types of organized crime, alongside drug trafficking, arms trafficking, and the trafficking of human beings. Policymakers continue to ignore it, but the climate is clearly warning us that we face impending catastrophe if we keep on exploiting our environment for profit. This is why we are gathered here today as friends of the environment, friends of the poor elephants and rhinos whose numbers continue to fall.
Shame.
Yes. Shame. To show solidarity with these creatures of God whose tusks and horns and skins are brutally stolen by greedy, selfish humans who think of nothing but lining their pockets.
Shame.
So this is why I ask you, I implore you to once again dig deep into your pockets and donate once more to this noble cause.
Excuse me. Excuse me, Dr. Susan.
Yes.
I have an announcement to make.
Okay.
Dr. Susan, I don't know whether you already know this, but I've just received a message. The president has appointed a new chairperson of the Wildlife and Tourism Task Force. And that person is none other than our very own Dr. Susan Galana. Congratulations.
What an honor.
Congratulations.
What? Oh, my goodness. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Back at the police station, the two detectives, Alan and Carl, meet up after lunch. And Carl can't wait to share his triumph with his colleague.
Hey, Carl.
Hey, Alan. Let me tell you, we had a big breakthrough yesterday night. We caught some of the poachers and we even found where they had hidden their stash.
Oh, really? Stash? You mean ivory?
Yep.
Ah, congratulations, Carl. That's great. And do the poachers know anything about Mr. G?
I didn't have a chance to talk to them yesterday. I'm going to grill them later today.
You'll have to tell me everything.
Of course. Shall we go in?
Yeah, let's go.
So, what about you, Alan? Any progress with your case?
Not really. I still don't know who blackmailed Mr. G. Was it Patrick, the murder victim? He was unemployed, so maybe he needed the money. He could have been killed as a result of the blackmail. His wife, Lucy, says he never mentioned Mr. G, and she claims she doesn't know who Mr. G is. But she did know her husband was having an affair.
Mm. A crime of passion?
I don't think she did it. But Patrick's lover, Betty? It seems Patrick wanted to leave her. Forensics just told me they found Betty's fingerprints on Patrick's computer, and she doesn't have an alibi.
Why was she using his computer?
That's what I want to ask her. Betty's real boyfriend would have had a motive too if he'd found out about the affair.
And does he have an alibi?
Not really. He was off in the jungle on his own. No one can back up his story. But he claims he didn't know about the affair between Betty and Patrick. And we don't have any other evidence that points to him, like fingerprints or witness testimonies.
Oh, Alan, it sounds really tricky. Keep going. Who knows? Maybe the poachers will lead us to Mr. G and his blackmailer.
I hope so.
And with the poachers behind bars, the hunt for Mr. G is hotting up. Remember that whoever was blackmailing Mr. G threatened to publish a video revealing his true identity? Let's join Mona. She's still at home, mourning the loss of her elder brother, Patrick.
Patrick, she was his husband. Philip Azura made it his
Judy.
Hi, Mona. Are you asleep?
No, just resting on the couch.
Listen, when are you coming back to work? We miss you here.
Huh? Hey, Judy, can I call you back? There's something on TV I have to see.
Sure. Bye.
An exclusive video leaked to this station shows poachers hunting down and killing an elephant and cutting off its tusks.
Huh?
In a shocking turn of events, one of Bovo's most respected and well-known personalities is identified in this video as a head poacher.
What?
Known as Mr. G.
That's Mr. G?
Mr. G is a notorious poacher who has...
I don't believe it. Are they serious? I have to tell Alan.
And so another layer of the onion is peeled off. Back at Bovo University, the ever-busy wildlife conservationist Dr. Susan is passing on her knowledge.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Wow. It's a very long time since I last stood in front of a class. Times have changed, and I'm a bit shy about speaking in front of young people nowadays. I just don't know what they want anymore. But that's not why I'm here. I was invited here to talk about my work. And my work, as you all know, is about protecting wildlife. Elephants and rhinos and other wild creatures. I'm here to tell you why I think they're so important and shouldn't be killed. My job is not to blabber on. Right. Africa was once so beautiful with its vast, majestic expanses of tropical flora and fauna. The tall trees, swaying so gently overhead, gave us clean air to breathe. Not the heavy fumes we breathe in nowadays that cause all kinds of respiratory diseases. And then there were our animals. The great elephant fertilizing the flora with its even greater dung. The tall and majestic giraffe.
Excuse me, Dr. Susan.
What is it, Jane?
We have to go now.
Can't you see I'm in the middle of my lecture?
You have to come with me now.
I'm sorry, it seems that something urgent has come up. I'll be back soon. How dare you interrupt me, Jane? This had better be good.
Oh my God.
What?
This is Mr. G.
Are you serious?
Look at this.
Goodness.
It's unbelievable.
Really?
Oh my gosh.
What did you do with this?
Oh my God.
Mr. G's identity has finally been revealed. If you want to find out who he is, don't miss the next episode of On the Trail of the Poachers. You can also listen to this and other episodes on our website, dw.com/crimefighters. And you can also follow us on Facebook. Bye for now.
And back here on Africa Link, our main stories before we say goodbye. After completing a 12-year sentence handed down by the International Criminal Court in The Hague, Congolese warlord Jermaine Katanga has appeared in court in Kinshasa. Exactly 2 weeks before Ugandans go to the polls, rights groups are accusing the authorities of making arbitrary arrests. And Nigeria is battling to contain an outbreak of Lassa fever. We welcome your comments on this programme, either via text message to country code 49 160 957 595 10, in an email to feedback.africa@dw.com, or in a letter to Africa Link, DW 53110, Bonn, Germany. As always, thank you for listening. Do join us again at the same time tomorrow. This is Mark Caldwell in Bonn. We'll be right back.